Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated on the bank of the Nkome River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good hour of Blood River Radio tonight. I certainly appreciate y'all hanging on. We had a great guest on. Just in case some of you people came in late, we had Mr. Paul Fromm. He's a great guy from Canada. He's been on here several times before, and he always does a wonderful job. We love him to death. We have a great guest coming on next. This will be his first time to come on Blood River Radio. His name is Dr. Edward DeFries. He's with Dixie Heritage. But before, well, I'm getting ready to go to him, and we're going to bring Jacob in a minute. But, you know, people, I screwed up the first hour. It's the first time ever with this show that we didn't open with a prayer. It's all my fault. I was too busy trying to, you know, take care of too many things at one time, and my little brain wouldn't do it. But anyway, before we go to our guests, people, we're going to go to the prayer, because we're not leaving. We're not going to do one single show without doing a prayer. I can guarantee double damn to you that. Take it away, Lee.
Okay. Yes. Everybody bow their heads. Dear Father in heaven, please help our struggle against secret combinations. And please help America to prevent, help us to prevent going into foreign wars and civil wars. And please help our political prisoners in America. And please help the white farmers in South Africa for being genocided. And please help us to expose Zionism. And please help us to repeal the North American, the United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement. And please help us to have courage and faith. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you so much. You know, Lee, back before he was as sick as he is now, he's got health problems and stuff. But I'm amazed that he can do as well as he does. He's just a great guy. Thank you so much for that prayer. He was a Sunday school teacher one time years ago. I didn't mean to disparage him by saying he's sick, but he has a lot of health problems. He comes in here day in, day out. He takes me all over the country, and it's not always easy for him because he does have a lot of health problems. I hope you people out there will pray for Lee. But how are you doing tonight, Mr. Edward DeFries? I'm really excited about having you on tonight. This will be your first trip here at Blood River Radio.
Yes, sir, it is, and I've been looking forward to being with you for some time now and appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here and putting up with my old redneck, with my redneck show. But, hey, I'll tell you a little bit about the history of our show. I'm really, really proud of it. I'll tell you what, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants a little bit, but here's the history. I'm an old combat medic, a registered nurse, and I've done everything you can think of. I worked at truck lines and eons ago. I'm really proud of being. I'm not just a regular registered nurse. I'm a damn good nurse. I'm trauma certified. But a couple of years ago, up at a deer camp up in Collinwood, Tennessee, up that neck of the woods, I had a dream, and I dreamed that we had to do something. We had been talking about South Africa, the genocide in South Africa. The hell that those people are going on, going through there. Me and my co-host, we have an honorary co-host. I have another co-host who can't be with us tonight, Matt Goodwin. We had one of our dear friends, Rich Hamblin, and one of our honorary co-hosts, Gene. I call him Mr. Marine Jeans, Gene Andrews. We all rode to Charlottesville, Virginia together, along with Simon Roach from South Africa. We went up there. During the big battle of Charlottesville, we were all there together. And so we're coming back, you know, we've been wanting to get this radio show. I was in a deer camp. I was telling my best friend, he's pretty wealthy. I told him we have to do something for the people in South Africa. And so I said, I think we'll try to get a radio show and just dedicate it to nothing but global white genocide and dedicate it our poster child for the global white genocide of South Africa. But as you well know, it's going on all over the world right now. It's in the form of soft genocide and what a lot of people love to call ethnic cleansing. I think Paul Fromm earlier called it displacement, which is same thing. It's just soft genocide. But And the name Blood River came to me in a dream. So some months later, we got this show going, and it's been a miracle. Sam Bushman, he syndicates our show along with about, I guess, 15, 20, 30 others, and he lets us get by with murder. God bless him. I love him to death. You know what? He loves us. We love him. He lets us just do pretty much what we want to do. Let me tell you what we have had. He never calls us down for a guest. We have the Klan on. We had the second in command of the Lincoln Rockwell branch of the American Nazi Party on. We're the only radio station in the United States that I know of that we have the first. We don't just talk about the First Amendment. We preach it. But anyway, I'm gonna shut the hell up, Mr. Edwards. We'll bring our other guests on in just a minute. But would you give us a little bit of bio? I'm just going to call you Ed. It's okay. My name's Ed, too. I know you're affiliated with this Dixie Heritage. Tell us something about it. Give us your bio, if you don't mind, Mr. Edwards.
Well, I've been a Baptist preacher, a Baptist pastor for the last 32 years. And in 2015, the Southern Baptist Convention effectively declared war against all things Southern and all things Confederate. And in doing so, they passed resolutions basically condemning everybody who signed the founding documents of the Southern Baptist Convention, because every one of them, to the man, a few years after founding the Southern Baptist Convention, became Confederates. And I was just so blown away by this, and I was actually working for the Florida Baptist Convention at the time, and so I was in a position to start writing responses to this in the state newspapers around the country. And then the national leadership put it out to the editors of the papers. They're like, stop running his stuff because he's, you know, too many people are agreeing with him. And so I ended up starting Dixie Heritage as a means of getting the word out about the attacks that were not only coming against our heritage and our history in the religious area, but then, of course, about the same time the whole Dylann Roof thing happened. And, you know, the flag came down in South Carolina, and then it almost became like a domino effect. And so we ended up getting into political lobbying and advocating for the preservation of our monuments. And I just figured it up the other day. Only 108 monuments have been taken down since the Dylann Roof incident. And there are 1,740 that are still standing, and our lobbying efforts through Dixie Heritage, I'm attributing to keeping at least 1,225 from being taken down. So I don't mean to brag, Eddie, but and I'm not the only person out there lobbying for these things, but at least in the small part, I'm responsible for the fact that 1,225 monuments are still standing and that only 108 have been taken down. I know a lot of us, we get discouraged every week. I report in our weekly Dixie Heritage newsletter about another monument going down. But this last week, I told our readers, I said, but hey, that's less than 10%. The other 1,740 are still standing. And, you know, by continuing to support our work and then works like your efforts as well, you know, our people can ensure that our monuments continue to stand and that our heritage continues to be preserved and that our ideology continues to be promoted, even though, you know, the marketplace is so violently opposed to it.
Well, I salute you for that. I'll just call you Ed, too. But we come to a break. We'll be right back. We have a short break, people. Get you some coffee, whatever. But don't stay long because it's a short break. We'll be right back with Mr. Edward DeFries in just a minute.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. We're getting ready to go right back to Mr. Ed. Ed, I had no idea. If I'd known you were a recovering Baptist like I am, I would have had you do the prayer. Normally, like I said to the audience, in case you probably heard me say, we always open this show, it's a two-hour show. We open up our very first segment. We do what we call the house cleaning part. You know, we talk about what we did last week, what we're going to do tonight, what we're going to do next week, any big announcements we have to make, et cetera, et cetera. But before we do all that, we always do the prayer. And tonight, I got things bum-fuzzled up. You know, I was trying to hurry up. I knew Mr. Paul Fromm, he's old like I am, and he's real impatient. I know I was looking for him to cut in any time. So somehow, it's all his fault. I forgot the prayer. If I'd known you were a Baptist minister, I'd have had you do the prayer. But thank you so much. I'm glad to know that, because a lot of people nowadays, they kind of think you're an idiot if you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they don't cotton to no praying around here, you know. But we do. And as long as I have anything to do with Blood River Radio, we will always dedicate our show to the greater glory of Jesus Christ, and we'll always, you know, try to do what he says. But, you know, I would like to say, Ed, that I really admire what you're doing. You're doing, you know, we do a lot of talk. A lot of people do a lot of talk, and we talk about the problems, but we never, most of us, including myself, we don't do enough. A lot of people don't do anything, but I really admire what you've done. You've taken concrete action, you and I guess the people that work with you, to save these statues, and the only 10% have been destroyed. That's amazing. But I would like to ask you, if you will, also, what's the latest action you've had that you've taken? Which statues have you saved recently? I guess that's the way I'm trying to say.
Well, in Alabama and in Mississippi, particularly, there are monument protection laws in place, and basically, what we've been able to do is we've been able to basically encourage the legislatures and the governors in those states to simply enforce the law. And by doing that, there have been several local, municipalities that basically the city councils and the county commissioners in those areas have either ordered a monument to be taken down or else they've ordered an investigative study to see, well, what would it take to remove this monument or to replace this monument? And the State Historical Society or the governor or someone has stepped in and said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. Sometimes it's the state's attorney general, like in Alabama, they've stepped in. They said, no, you know, we're not going to allow you to do that. There is a law in our state that prevents you from doing that, and we're going to enforce that law. You know, in Alabama, they went so far as to threaten to impose a fine of $2,500 a day upon the city of Birmingham if they even dared to you know, touch the monument.
I wish we had something like that here in Memphis, Tennessee, because, you know, we had a great I think it's probably one of the most beautiful statues we'd ever seen. It was a statue of the one and only Wizard in the Saddle, General Nathan Bedford Forrest. It was taken down. I mean, I've never felt – I can't tell you. I had the weirdest feeling when they kind of broke in. The news broke in. They did it about 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night, if I remember. It was a cold, rainy night, and they knew that nobody would be out there, you know, to – would have time to marshal troops to prevent that. They also took down a statue of President Jefferson Davis. He was the president of the South, as everybody well knows. Would you not say something to say, Lee?
Yeah, I was just saying our Tennessee government failed us. They could have called in the state troopers, but they didn't want to go that far. And I think the people
placed in Tennessee to protect that monument, and the city disregarded it, and the state simply, like you said, refused to enforce it.
Yes, yeah, that's true. And I think one time when they took the, I forgot, and the city employees, some of them were wearing masks so they wouldn't be identified in some of these exercises they do against our heritage.
That was that. I know. Yeah, absolutely. I see. They totally disregard the law. They did not enforce the law. You're so right there, Ed. You know, I don't want to get too hot because I don't want to, you know, I'm not sure you're not as hot as I am. But sooner or later, we're going to have to take the law in our own hands and we're going to have to go and get rid of these ne'er-do-wells, these people that are trampling on the law, that are not enforcing the law. We're going to do it ourselves. But I'd like to introduce one of my hosts tonight, Jacob Tyler, who's been hanging on a while. And I told Jacob that what we're going to talk about tonight, and that the Confederate heritage, antebellum culture, Western civilization. And think, Jacob, would you like to ask our guest the question, son?
Absolutely, absolutely. And great to be hanging on with you guys in the second hour here. I think it's the first time in a while I've actually been on for the whole show with you guys. So having a blast, and it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you. Dr. DeVries, you have been on my short list of people to meet, actually. So it's a tremendous honor to be on air with you tonight as well. I had heard your name before in our circles, but my friend Paul Angel, who's the editor of the Barnes Review and an assistant editor of American Free Press, and I know your show, the Dixie Heritage Hour, is on TBR Radio and whatnot, he had been speaking very highly of you to me, and your name has come up with other folks I've talked to also, like the attorney Kirk Lyons, who's also very involved in the Defending Our Monuments work. So it's a tremendous honor for me to meet you on air tonight. I've been hearing great things about you for a while, and like I said, you've been on one of my short lists of people in the movement to meet. And do I understand correctly that you have authored over 30 books and that you actually hold 6 university and seminary degrees?
Yes, sir, that is correct. And if you tap my name into Amazon, the books will come up. You know, the university degrees, you know, I tell people that you go for 2 years, you get an associate's degree. You go for 4 years, you get a bachelor's degree. You go another year, they give you a master's degree. And then every year after that, they just give you a doctorate because you're not smart enough to leave.
Well, your modesty does you well, but that is certainly very impressive. I mean, I was already impressed with you just based off of the accolades I'd heard about you regarding your work in the movement, but I didn't even realize at first, based on what I had heard about you already, which was quite substantial and very positive, was that you were such a credentialed individual. So, I understand the whole dynamic of a degree nowadays doesn't mean a whole lot, but what it still, you know, represents is that you have put in the work. You know, you are a scholar, and you have actually, you know, not only do you actually stand for a hardcore truth, but you have actually gone through the effort to even be acknowledged by men for the work that you do as well. Not in the same vein, of course. You're rather hated for that, naturally. but yeah, it's always impressive to me can do it like what you do in our circles, but also be an academic in a formal capacity as well, because it's very hard. We know we've seen all kinds of examples of how petty academia is, like the scholar Germar Rudolph, who you know did some really excellent work in regards to the history of the Holocaust and Germany and World War II, and you know assembled a very amazing team of scholars and put together the Holocaust Handbook series, which he sells on his website. And it's just this, you know, encyclopedic historical tome, you know, on Holocaust history and everything. And of course, it questions the official story in this very academic and scholarly way, but it goes into minutia and everything that even mainstream historians don't go into. And the guy graduated from the Max Planck Institute, which is one of the biggest universities in Germany with honors. And once he came out as a maverick scholar, they actually were trying to revoke his credentials, you know, and just deny the hard work that he'd done from that. So very impressive. And he's an example of that. And it's just, I commend you for that. That's not even the question I wanted to get into, though. So hopefully
Son, we got to go to a break now. They're going to revoke our credentials. We got to go to a quick break. And then we're going to come back with these two intellectuals. I feel kind of out of place tonight. But anyway, well, I'll do the best I can. People, we'll be right back, and I can't wait to get back to listen to these guys talk. Hang on your seats.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Two United States service members were killed and two others injured when their vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb in southern Afghanistan. In keeping with Defense Department rules, the U.S. military did not identify the service members. The Taliban immediately took responsibility for the attack. More than 2,400 United States service members have been killed in Afghanistan. Last year was one of the deadliest for the U.S., with 23 American troops killed, even after Washington engaged in peace talks with the Taliban. Dangerous weather is targeting more than 30 million Americans this weekend. A fast-moving storm is sweeping across parts of the U.S. Gulf Coast and Southeast, and it's already been blamed for at least 3 deaths in Louisiana. Tornadoes have been reported in at least 3 states. The storm has dropped heavy rain and wind across Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Missouri, and Arkansas. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
An Alaska judge ruled that an effort to recall Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy may proceed, a decision that is expected to be appealed. The decision from the bench by Superior Court Judge Eric Arsarth in Anchorage followed arguments in the case that came 2 months after the director of the State Division of Elections rejected a bid to advance the recall effort. Grounds for recall in Alaska are lack of fitness, incompetence, neglect of duties, or corruption.
One of the largest suppliers of parts to Boeing's troubled 737 MAX is laying off at least 2,800 workers in the United States. The supplier, Spirit AeroSystems, said it may also have to cut more workers if production of the grounded jet does not resume soon. Boeing's 737 MAX jets in airline fleets around the world have been grounded since March following the second crash of the airplane in less than 6 months. Those two crashes killed 346 passengers and crew. This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, folks, this is Zoe Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, back here. I identify more closely, I guess, with Clint Eastwood, you know, with a 44 Magnum in my hand. I guess these two guys I got on tonight, I guess they're probably more at home with, like, the Iliad, or maybe the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, or something like that. I'm really enjoying this. Now, all joking aside, I'm really enjoying this interview tonight. Let me ask you, before we go back to the young scholarly Mr. Jacob, Edward, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Now, I know you're a prolific author. Have you ever had any of your books blacklisted, blackballed, kicked off of Amazon or kicked out of the libraries, anything like that, to your knowledge? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, I did. In fact, one of the reasons that we launched the Dixie Heritage website, one of the first things we did at DixieHeritage.net was to offer free copies of my book, A Symbol of Hate or an Ensign of the Christian Faith, The Truth About the Confederate Battle Flag, because Amazon and eBay had both basically kicked it off of their websites. And it was a book that at that time that was one of the Amazon bestsellers, and they kicked it off as they, you know, banned the sale of anything Confederate right after the whole Dylann Roof debacle. And you just talk about sometimes God puts things in your path. Somehow or another, I stumbled on Jeff Bezos's personal email address, and I sent Jeff Bezos an email, and I told him who I was, and, you know, that my book had been kicked off of Amazon, and, you know, I was giving away free copies just to keep the message going out there. And a couple of days later, I got an email back from him telling me that I would be hearing from one of their vice presidents very soon. And a couple of days later, then I heard from one of Amazon's vice presidents, and they did not at that time lift their ban against Confederate flags and so forth, but they did put all of the Confederate-themed books back on Amazon, even the ones that had Confederate flags on the cover and so forth. And, of course, when that happened, my book went back up there. It would be a considerable longer period of time before we could convince eBay to do the same thing. But yes, that book basically did get blacklisted and did get banned. I also wrote a book called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. What does the Bible teach? It's 32 chapters on the subject marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And the Southern Baptist Convention attempted to blacklist that book. And, you know, basically at the time, this was 2008, one of the vice presidents of the convention basically told me that if I went forward with publishing the book, that he'd see to it that I never, you know, preached in the Southern Baptist Convention again. Not only did that prove to be an idle threat, the Florida Baptist Convention actually bought hundreds of copies and sent one to every pastor in the state. So,
well, did they ban you from preaching in hell then? Because most of the Southern Baptist preachers I know, and I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, most of them I know they'll probably have their honor positions in hell because, you know, I won't go into the reasons, all the reasons that I know that right now. But speaking of pastors, you're being a pastor.
Was because I took the position that divorce is not always a sin and, you know, actually tried to offer some encouragement to some of the divorced people in our churches, which, by the way, is about half of them. And so I guess because I didn't take the old hard line, you know, beat everybody up, you know, position.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we'll go to Jacob. Are you being a pastor, are you familiar with I don't know if he's deceased now, a pastor, John Weaver? He also did an excellent YouTube presentation, an excellent sermon on the Confederate battle flag. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, sir. Pastor Weaver is very much alive. He lives in Georgia, about 2 hours north of me. 3 hours maybe. And I had him on my radio show probably about 4 or 5 months ago now. But yes, Pastor Weaver is very much alive and still very active in the Confederate Heritage Movement.
That's great. You know, Jacob Tyler, my other co-host, the little 31-year-old intellectual Jacob Tyler, he's the one that put me on to Pastor John Weaver. I've listened to him several times. Jacob, what do you have to say about that, son? You're the one that turned me on to Pastor John Weaver. Do you have any other questions for our guest tonight?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad to hear you know Pastor Weaver, Dr. DeVries. I know, I suppose I prefer to call you Pastor Ed or whichever you'd prefer. Can I just call you, can I call you Pastor Ed?
That's fine. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm real glad you know about Pastor Weaver, Pastor Ed. It makes perfect sense to me because, yeah, his work in these circles is very, it goes without saying and is a legend in its own right as well. So yeah, it only makes sense to me.
20 years ago, Pastor Weaver was one of the reasons that I came into the Confederate Heritage Movement.
Oh, that's fantastic. Praise God. Well, on that note, that was one of the major questions I wanted to hit on with you tonight. I mean, there's a lot of the, I know there's so many directions we could go in. Well, directions isn't really the right word. It all kind of goes in the same direction, but there's so many things we could hit on tonight. But it struck me during the break that, and at the beginning of the show even, that we have a really great opportunity in having you on tonight. And aside from just, you know, being able to fellowship with you on air and everything, and it's that addressing this commonly held perception in right-wing circles especially, but I think it's amongst pretty much all AAAs, that's my term for people that are awake and aware and alert, who are being pushed more to the right little by little, people that are in the common vernacular and you know, modern nomenclature, the normies and everything, you know, that are being pushed a little further to the right. There's this very common perception amongst them that Christians are spearheading, you know, the SJW globalist agenda. And of course, people like yourself, like people like Pappy and Lee and Matt and myself, and, you know, a large percentage, if not the majority of people in the right wing who do identify as Christians of some stripe would beg to differ. But there is this perception nonetheless, because, you know, the Christians that get all the publicity by and large are the ones who are leaning more and more to the left, you know, the emergent church crowd and people like that. And so you being a pastor and being the credentialed man that you are, it dawned on me that we have a great opportunity on the air here to get you to comment on that and just sort of refute, if you will, in your own words, this notion that it's that A, Christians are somehow at the epicenter of the you know, this gaslighting we're all being subjected to, and also the notion that that it's somehow a biblically based premise that we should be ashamed of our heritage and that we have to, you know, that reparations are actually something we should be talking about and stuff like that. And you don't have to answer all that right away. Maybe we could break that up into two little segments. And when you're first with one, you could, you know, I could ask you the second one. But yeah, just I'd love to get you to comment on that if that's good with you on this notion, firstly, that Christendom is somehow, you know, the people that are at the center of this globalist and SJW phenomenon we're dealing with today.
Great point. Great question.
Well, you know, there have always been liberal Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And there have always been liberal politicians. And, you know, there have always been times when they have gotten together. And you have to keep in mind certain things, and first of all, for example, it's called the social gospel for a reason.
Mm.
It's not the biblical gospel. It's another gospel, and what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you've heard, he said, you know, let him be accursed. And so you look at these liberal social justice warriors in clerical garb, if you will. You know, you look at your mainline denominations like the United Methodist or the Presbyterians or the Unitarians or, you know, some of the Lutherans and so forth, and some of the things that they're doing for quote-unquote social justice. And that political social justice agenda has replaced the preaching of the gospel. And so when that happened, they may call themselves Christian. But because they're not preaching the gospel, they're not even Christian. You know, they ceased to be Christian in some cases generations ago, as the liberalism and the quote-unquote social justice overtook and then replaced the gospel that was once preached in their circles. And so just because somebody, you know, wears their collar inside out and, you know, puts on a black sport coat or a black dress does not make them a Christian or a preacher of the gospel or a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that might not be the answer that you're looking for, but these Christians that you're asking me about, I'm going to contend that in a lot of cases, they're not even Christians.
So, Pastor, do you have any books dealing with that? Excuse me, Jake, I was going to ask the pastor, do you have any books that you've written dealing with that, Pastor? And if you do, and even if you don't, tell the audience how they can go to your website to order some of your books.
Okay. I've not written a book on that line of thought, but there is one that's available on Amazon that they might want to look at. It was written by a dear friend of mine, Dr. Roy Branson, and it's titled Under Whose God? And then they can go to my website, www.dixieheritage.net.
Okay, we'll get more back to that after we come back to this break. We're going to go to this break. We'll come back. I'll have a quick question, and we'll go back to the pastor and to Jacob. People, I'm really enjoying this show tonight. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I can, as much as I am. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back, and I must say I'm very impressed with Pastor tonight. And Pastor, before we go, me and one of my co-hosts were talking about, before we go, we're going to do something. We've only done it a time or two before. Would you like to close out our show tonight with a quick prayer?
Yes, sir, I'd be happy to. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for the opportunity to gather on these airwaves tonight and to be able to talk to a large audience of people all over the United States and probably even all over the world. And we just ask that that you would just continue to strengthen Brother Eddie Miller and the folks there at Blood River Radio, and that they would continue to be able to get these messages out. Pray for all who are listening to us right now. I pray that they'd be stirred, that they'd be encouraged, that they'd realize that they don't just have to be someone listening to the radio, but when they turn this radio off and they go out into the world, that they can be advocates for their heritage. They can be advocates for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can be advocates for our history and our heritage. They can be strengthened so that through them and through their daily activity, that our Western civilization and our Christian civilization is preserved. And we just pray that Lord Jesus would be glorified through our folk. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I tell you what, if we had a pastor like you at my church, I never would have left the Southern Baptist Church, I don't believe. But, you know, I wanted to get you to do that because in the past, you know, you never know. You always intend to do things, but we run out of time. We still got about 10 minutes left. But I just felt inspired to have you to pray for us, Pastor. I really did. Before we go back to Jacob, I know he's on fire because, his dad's a pastor, too. And Jacob's a very good Christian young man, as Lee. Lee's older, but Lee comes from a big Christian family. Pastor, you know, I talk to so many people, and they tell me they're Christian. They'll mention something about being a Christian. But I used to believe, but now when somebody tells me they're a Christian, I got to ask them, what the hell do they mean by being a Christian? Because sometimes they tell you stuff that's really weird. But, you know, because, in my opinion, the churches have become so passive. And they'll endorse anything. They'll do, you know, the gay lobby, the homosexual, there's 52 different sexes. There's nothing as a sin. You know, I'm okay, you're okay. I think, and I see in our movement, I've heard other people talk about this in the movement. You see so many pagans now, these pagan religions, and people that are right wing that Jacob mentioned a minute ago, people that are hardcore, they're racially aware, they're America first. They're not this Judeo-Christian stuff. You know, so many of those people, young people have gone into paganism, and they think that Christians, like y'all said, like Jacob said, and like you may have said, they look at the church as ushering in a anti-American, anti-white, anti-Christian globalism under the guise of only the false flag of Christianity. What do you think about that, Pastor? Is that true? Has this new dumbing down, watering down of the good old fashioned gospel, has that ushered in a pagan movement within our young people? And then after you answer that, we'll go to Jacob.
Well, I don't know that the appeal of paganism to our young people and the, you know, basically the watering down of the gospel and what we're seeing is I call the apostasy in our churches today. I don't know that the two are a cause and effect relationship. I think they're two things that are, in some cases, there may be a cause and effect there. But in a lot of cases, I think they're just two trends that are happening. Maybe they're running parallel to each other. It just happened to be happening at the same time. You have to understand that paganism has been with us for the last 4,000 years in various forms. You can date it all the way back to ancient Babylon and even beyond that. And it comes and it goes. Sometimes it's more popular, sometimes it's less popular, but it's come and gone throughout our history of the world for the last at least 4,000 years or so. You know, Christianity, on the other hand, you could make the argument that maybe it peaked about 200 years ago, and now it's in the decline. Jesus himself asked the question. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And, you know, maybe the answer to that question is he's going to find a bunch of people who are worshiping the same pagan stupidity that the people were in his own day. I don't necessarily think that those two are cause and effect. But that said, I do believe that if our churches had been faithful in preaching— And I think that if Christian parents, not necessarily preachers, but just Christian parents in raising their children and their grandchildren had made more of an effort to pass their faith on to the next generation, especially those of their own blood, I don't believe that paganism, would have been as appealing, you know, to our young people. You know, we have to ask ourselves the question, either A, how did we fail to pass the faith on to our children, or B, what did we do in our own lives that our children rebelled against our faith when we did try to pass it on?
You know, in other words, it starts in the home, doesn't it, Pastor? You know, Lee has a question for you right now, I believe, Pastor, my other co-host.
Well, yeah, so I'll just take, this may be too late to bring it up, but what is your, we have to have you back, Meg. What is your view on Zionism? You know, I'm sort of against Zionism, big time, I guess.
Well, I had an article that appeared in the Citizen Informer, which is a newspaper published by the Council of Conservative Citizens. I want to say it was two or three issues ago now. It was earlier in 2018. But basically what I explained was that the political entity that calls itself Israel today, that yes. that government, if you will, that state, that political entity that's in the Middle East that calls itself Israel is not Israel of the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the mistake that a lot of Christians and that a lot of preachers and even a lot of politicians make. They think that the modern day state of Israel is the biblical nation of Israel. And while God promised blessings to people who supported and were a blessing to his people and to the biblical nation of Israel, therefore they just assume, well, if I support the modern day state of Israel, God's going to bless me. But that's not the case because the nation of Israel that God was referring to in the Bible has not existed for over 1,000 years.
Amen. Because it was conditional anyway. That's what my view.
You're on fire, Pastor. You're on fire. You're preaching it. Keep preaching it, fellas. Pour it to them. Jacob, you have anything to add to that, son?
Well, I think we're just about out of time. So I guess I would just.
You got about 3 minutes. You got about 3 minutes.
Oh, nice.
You got 3 minutes.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll just summarize it with this then. The work that you're doing, Pastor Ed, yeah, I appreciate it also just from a very biblical perspective even. I mean, the scriptures themselves, there's a huge disconnect today with modern Christians and how important our heritage really is. And this is possibly one of the biggest reasons why I think the work that you're doing is so important and why we talk about it so much on this show. It's, you know, the scriptures themselves tell us to honor our father and our mother and to look to the rock from which we are hewn. And of course, all of us who are Christians understand that we can't see the reform, you know, the positive side of Deuteronomy 28 in our nation like we so desperately need without revival. And I just feel like that revival isn't really going to come into full swing until our people once again recognize and embrace their heritage. And so to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why the work that you're doing is so incredibly significant. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, you know, you say honor your fathers, and that was actually an article that I'd written back in 2015 that appeared in some of the Southern Baptist state newspapers. I pointed out, you know, Jesus was referred to as the son of David, but yet there were several dozens of generations removed between him and David. You know, the Israelites were calling themselves the sons of Abraham, but Abraham was a great, 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 et cetera, grandfather to them. And so our fathers are not just our fathers or the man who was married to our mother, but our grandfathers, our father, our great grandfather, our great, great grandfathers, they were our fathers as well. And so when we're to honor our father, that's not just to honor the man, you know, who hopefully raised us, but, you know, that would include his father and his father's father and his father's father. And so, you know, for example, my great, 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 great grandfather, Micaiah N. Lawrence, served in the Confederate Army. And so when I honor him, I'm fulfilling that biblical command. It made God's top 10 to honor my father.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. You know, honoring our fathers should be multi-generational. In other words, it's not just one generation back. So
would you go so far?
I totally agree with what you said.
So would you go,
guys? I'd like to chime in just a minute before we run out of time. I'm in I don't know if I got the right version. I just pulled it up. I like the King James. But I'm in the third chapter of Galatians. We talked about Israel, who Israel is. The third chapter of Galatians, I think down to verse 27, it says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." And here's the closer, man. This is the left hook. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I mean, that says it all. If you're clothed in Christ, you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a son of Abraham. And these people that go around saying they're Jews are a bunch of apostate seeds of the devil. And that's just my opinion. Thank you so much, Pastor. You've greatly exceeded my expectations. Thank you. What an honor. What a blessing to have you on tonight. I hope and pray you'll come back on our show again soon. I really do. We'll be getting back with you.
Thank you.
I thank you so much tonight, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jacob, for coming on. Thank you, Lee. And I know that Paul Fromm came here, but thank you, Paul. Thank you, Sam. God bless y'all, you audience out there. What a blessing it has been tonight to have these great guests we've had. I'll be calling you before too long again, Mr. Edward, if you don't mind. God bless you. We'll see y'all later, God willing, next week. We'll be here same time, same place, God willing. Thank you so much.